Lord, we do thank you for the body of Christ. What a joy folks have been to me today and throughout the last week as they've called and assured us of their prayers. And Lord, it's so wonderful to have a church family and a class to stand behind you and to minister to you. Lord, it's just we're just so grateful for your goodness to us. We thank you for the unity that we have in Christ. And Lord, that you have, we are all part of the body and a part of your body, Lord, and it's just a wonderful thing, and we thank you for it. We do pray for Courtney now with mono. We pray that you touch her body and help her to recuperate now quickly. I think of Mary Stover, who's fallen and needs some rehab. We pray that you would touch her, and for Frankie Elliott's family, the death of his father. Lord, just encourage that family. For Karen Carrick today has the flu. Needs a touch from heaven, needs healing. And for Keisha Luster with this liver problem, unsure of what's going on there. And continue to pray for my mom. And Lord, I thank you, she's in your hands. And God, you are a good God. And I thank you that we can trust you in all of these things. Do continue to pray for Tim Silvers and his family, that you would help him to continue to recuperate and make progress. Lord, I ask you to bless now as we look at your word today. Speak to our hearts. Give me clarity of thought. May we all be touched by your word and changed by the word of God to become what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to have Mr. Ellison this morning. This morning, I know that Christmas is past. However, I was going to teach this lesson last week, and it's actually a two-part lesson. And so we're going to extend Christmas here a couple weeks. And it's not just about Christmas, but it kind of centers on that. And then we'll bring some truths that will help you today. But I want to start with a little word association. I'm going to give you one word, and then I want you to tell me the first word that comes to your mind. All right? So here's the word. I want to know the first word that comes to your mind. Then I'll have you raise your hand, and we'll find out what those things are. Here's the word. You ready? You ready, Mark? Okay. The word is Christmas. Christmas. All right? What was the first word that came to your mind? Christ? You guys are so spiritual. Birth? What else? Cross? What's that? Celebration? Saved? What's that? More? More Christmas? Well, you're going to get it, buddy, next 2 weeks. I'm helping you out here, Gary. What else? Gifts? One honest man. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. Family. Graham thought Santa Claus. He was afraid to say it. I appreciate it. Family. Sure. What else? I heard something somewhere. Tree. That's all right. What else? Mass. We need to pray for Buddy here. Buddy's relatively new in our church. We're going to have to work with a little bit here. It is. Yeah, so you can spend time with family. Sure. Yeah, sure. Never thought about it, huh? We'll have it next year just for you, buddy. Well, you may be right. On Sunday, yeah. Yeah.
We mark the birth of Christ, but we don't mark the day because the day 25th is not the birth of Christ. So we mark it.
Now you've upset them all, Graham. I tell you what. Oh, my. It's interesting. There is one word that nobody mentioned, and yet it is found four times in the accounts of Christmas. It is a word that we would not associate with Christmas, but it's there. The word is fear. Fear. Now, all four occasions, it's connected to another word, and that word is not. And all four of them are times when angels appeared to people. Now, there's no doubt, and I want to shoot straight with Scripture. There's no doubt that if an angel showed up to us today, we would be fearful too. But I think there's more to it. And as we examine these four accounts, which we'll try to get to today and two next week, I want you to see that as a believer, a believer should not be afraid. Now, it's interesting. Again, I was studying all this the week before I went to Ohio, and boy, it's been a help to me. Believers should not live in fear. Let me give you one passage. Don't turn there. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." God has not given us the spirit of fear. God does not want us to be afraid, but he's given us the spirit of power and of love. And what's the last one? A sound mind. And you know what I find in my life? Usually when I'm fearful, it's because I have wrong thinking. In fact, every time I'm fearful, it's because I have wrong thinking. Don't have a sound mind. Now, some of you say, amen, we've known that for years. But look, God does not want you to live in fear. Believers, now listen, believers should not live lives of fear. Now, it may be that there are folks in this room today who are fearful. It may be about your family situation, maybe about a physical situation, multitudes of things, a job situation. And I want you to see as we study the next 2 weeks that there is a cure for fear. And it's interesting, in all four passages, the cure for fear is the same. Okay? So I want you to start by turning to Luke chapter 2. If you're like us, we read this Christmas Day. Buddy, we were at least trying to be spiritual. So, Luke chapter 2. And I want to call this the fear not of salvation. The fear not of salvation. And it involves some guys who were not a very good reputation. The guys named the shepherds. So let's see what happens. In verse 8 of chapter 2, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo," let me just stop there and get the setting. Now, they were outside of the city of Bethlehem. What was going on in Bethlehem? Chaos, wouldn't you think? I mean, they're coming there to be taxed. There's no vacancies. People can't find place to stay. It's just crazy. There's people everywhere. But these guys are up on outside of Bethlehem on a hill with their sheep. Now, just think of that setting. There's a brook, you know, trickle, 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 trickle. The sheep are there, you know, and there's some of the guys may be sleeping, some are maybe watching the sheep. It's just, you know, the lush grass is there. It's just beautiful, and they're just settled in. Can you imagine? I mean, anything more, you know, la da 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 da. I mean, it is just beautiful, peaceful going on here. And look what happens in verse 9. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Can you blame them? Now, there had been no recorded appearance of angels for 500 years. These guys had never seen angels. And all of a sudden, this beautiful, peaceful scene is broken up by this angel that shows up, and the glory of the Lord that shone, and this bright light, and they're filled with fear. Now, it's understandable. I was reading my devotions last week about one occurrence in 2 Kings where an angel showed up, one angel, and killed 185,000 people. Now, we also, of course, these were good Jewish boys, and they knew about the Passover, and the avenging angel came in and destroyed all the firstborn of the Egyptians, those who did not put the blood on the doorpost. I mean, there are some pretty scary scenarios in Scripture when angels showed up. These guys are afraid, and it's understandable. Now, the simple matter of fact, though, is that when you get a right view of who God is, especially as an unbeliever, there ought to be some fear and trepidation. See, we're living in a day when people say, well, you know, you ought to just, you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven, so trust Christ. Well, you know, give Jesus a try. And this kind of thing, well, you know, your life is hard, and if you get saved, it'd be better. Well, not necessarily. Your circumstances may not change at all. By the way, speaking of which, I need to make an announcement. Sorry, Ed, I just remembered. We have a family that has just gotten right with the Lord in our church. They've been coming faithfully for some time, and they're in a terrible situation where they're living. I can't give you all the details, but they need to move, okay? And we're looking for a place, apartment, a trailer, something pretty modest, because we're going to have to help them for a while. In fact, if you want to help them, that'd be fine too. But if you know of a location like that, talk to Ed. Ed, raise your hand back there. They're going, talk to Ed, and we can work on that. I don't have no idea how I got on that from where I just was. But at any rate, make the situation better. That's how where I got there. The simple matter of fact is, folks, these guys were afraid because the glory of the Lord showed up. Now, I can't imagine what that was like. You know, Moses wanted to see God's glory. He wanted to say, God, show me yourself. And what'd God say? Well, go hide behind the rock over there, and I'll allow you to see just the hinder parts. What was the effect on Moses? His face shone. I mean, the glory of God was so powerful that for days, his face shone. I mean, folks, when you start talking about the glory of God and the power of God, in 1 Timothy 2, 6, it says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. And a little bit of this light showed up for these shepherds, and man, they were scared to death. And I tell you what, folks, when you begin to see who God really is, and that's what unbelievers need to see, that God is a holy God. And when they begin to see God's perfection, what does it do? What should it do? It should cause fear. I cannot go to heaven because of the glory of God, the perfection of God, and we're separated from God. Now, what was the cure for these guys' fear? Well, let's read on here. And verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Said, look, don't be afraid. I'm not here with bad news. I'm here with good news. Here's the good news. Now, by the way, this good news is the same good news that we need to hear, isn't it? Now, what he's going to tell these guys, don't be afraid, because look, unto you is born this day in the city of David, and here's the great word, a what? A destroyer, a punisher, a judge. Nah, he is coming now as a savior, which is Christ. That's the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord who is God. What a wonderful thing. You know, folks, in our day today, what do people need? Well, number one, they need, if they're lost, they need a great conviction about sin. You know what people need? They need to see that they have offended a holy God. What's the real thing that people need? They need conviction about their sin, that they have broken God's law and they're under the wrath of God and they deserve God's punishment. If not, just try a little Jesus. You know? It's not, well, you just can't pay your bills, you got physical trouble, you need to get saved. No, they need to get saved because they've offended a holy God. And by the way, a person will never get truly saved until they see that I have broken God's law and I deserve God's punishment. Now, what's the answer for someone like that? To go around the rest of their life living in fear? No, the answer is, hey, I want you to know that God has made provision for you and he has sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great message. The angel said to Mary, thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. And folks, the message of the shepherds is the message to the shepherds is the message that we need to be giving people everywhere. Yes, they are under God's wrath. Yes, they are at enmity with God. Yes, they deserve to die and go to hell. But hallelujah, there is a Savior. There is a Savior. And these shepherds heard that message. And let's read on. I didn't read the whole passage. It says in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. That was bad before. Now there's a multitude of them, but they're praising God and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, I bet those other guys from that other herd are playing a joke on us. Now, what do you think those guys thought? Really, think about it. A bunch of pranksters. I wonder how they got that light up in the sky and all those voices. That's pretty impressive, you know? Maybe they went to their wine bottles and said, man alive, this stuff's been in here too long. I tell you what, it's fermented. We're in bad shape here, boy. Something's not right. I mean, they could have come up with all kinds of reasons not to go, but what'd they do? Let me ask you a question. Did it take a little bit of faith to believe those angels? I mean, they could have cast it off. They could have said, what a bunch of junk. This is not true. This is not real. We're busy guys. We've got all these sheep out here. We can't take care of the sheep. We don't have time to go down to Bethlehem. And who cares about a little baby anyway? But these guys said, you know what? We're going. And what happened when they came? Well, in verse 15, it says, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now notice what they did, okay? Now, by the way, what was the cure for their fear? We're going to find this in every case. They heard the word of God, and they did what? They acted on it because they believed it. So what is the cure for fear? Faith. Faith. The cure for fear is faith. Look, fear and faith cannot coexist. If you are fearful, then there's something wrong with your view of God. Your faith is faulty. All right? Faith drives out fear. These guys said, all right, they got a message from heaven, and they believed it, and they acted on it, and their fear was gone. Again, how many remember when you got saved? I hope you all remember when you got saved. How many of you were saved later in life? Say after 20 to 50, something like that. All right. Damon, when were you saved? Yes. 97. What drove you to salvation? Fear. What happened after you believed? It was gone. It's gone. Why? Because faith drives out fear. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'll touch more on this in the next point. There's been some fearful times in our family. Now, I know many of you have been through this and you understand, but anytime tragedy happens in a family, your mind just goes crazy. And you fear all kinds of things. Now, what's the answer, folks? Believe God. Believe God. And focus on the one who can do anything and not on the problem. Now, these guys believe God, and they came and they saw the baby. And notice what they did after they had believed and came. And when they had seen it, they told each other, don't tell anybody, they'll think we're crazy. Right? And when they had heard, and when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which are told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let me ask you a question. What two responses did they have? They responded in faith, and they came, and when they saw the babe, what was their response? Number one, they told everybody. And number two, they praised God. Now, if I went around the room, probably everyone in here would say that you've been saved, and that's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. You responded, you had fear of condemnation, fear of hell. And you responded in faith, and you were saved. Who have you told about it? Are you actively telling people about it? Now, you got to admit, folks, these shepherds, which typically had a reputation for unsavory character, And they start going around saying, hey, guys, you wouldn't believe this, man. Last night we were out watching the sheep, and this angel, boom, this light coming down from heaven. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. And there was a bunch of them, and they were talking to us, and people are saying, Yeah, you're shepherds, right? They weren't concerned about their reputation. They weren't concerned about anything. I mean, they'd seen something wonderful, and all they wanted to do was tell people about it. How many of you have ever been at a checkout, and you had tracks in your pocket and your purse, and you were thinking, you know what, I'm going to check out, and I'm just going to go ahead and give this person a track, and this will be great. And then you looked around, there's like 10 people standing behind you in line, and you thought, they're going to think I'm a nutcase? And then, not only did they tell people about Christ, but their life was full of praise. How much praise have you done lately? What comes natural? Griping and complaining, and we all struggle with it, don't we? We are told in Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God whenever you feel like it. The word is continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Think how your life would change and how my life would change if instead of griping and complaining, we always had praise to God on our lips. That's what these guys did, folks. After they saw the Lord, they were busy telling people about Christ. They were busy praising and thanking God. If you had to sum up your praise life, what would it be like? Well, I praise the Lord when I sit down and eat, you know, 3 times a day, man. I'm pretty spiritual. Yeah, some of you eat 4 or 5 times, yeah. Well, we see the fear not of salvation. Let's move quickly. Just back Luke chapter 1, back a page. The fear not of human impossibility. The fear not, and this is the one that helped me even more. The fear not of human impossibility. Look in verse 26, chapter 1. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Now notice, what does it say? It doesn't say, now I'm sure there was some fear because of his appearance, but what troubled her? She was troubled in her heart because of the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be. So here she is, a young lady, a virgin, and this Holy Spirit, by the way, probably a teenager, and an angel says, hey, I want you to know that you're God's favorite in heaven. I mean, God is favoring you. You're dear unto the Lord, and you're going to be blessed above all women. Now, we know what that means. I don't know, but I don't think she did at this point. I mean, so this angel shows up, and he said, hey, boy, you are special to God. I mean, you're going to be number one. I mean, God is going to do something special, and she's thinking, whoa, what is this all about? And she's troubled in her mind, okay? Now, let's read on. And it says in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, here it is again, fear not, Mary. And he says the same thing, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow. He shows up and says, by the way, though you're a virgin, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be a boy, and he is going to rule and reign forever. You are going to give birth to the Messiah. Wow. Now, there's a lot of thoughts going through her mind right now. Can you imagine? The first of which is what? Well, she tells us. And she says in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? By the way, it's interesting to me, what does that prove? She's a virgin. That's her testimony. Now, we've already seen God's testimony. But she said, this can't be. This is humanly impossible. It is not possible for me, a virgin, to have a child. Here is an impossible situation. And I just can imagine, again, all the thoughts that must be going through her mind. But the angel said, you are going to be the mother of Christ, the mother of the Messiah. And here's a little Jewish girl. And of course, she's been taught all of her life about the prophecies of Christ, starting back in Genesis chapter 3. Mark emailed or texted this week, Jeremiah 9:6. What is that? That's a prophecy of the coming of Christ. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What is that? That's a prophecy of Christ. And all of a sudden, you've heard about this from a child, and an angel shows up and says, hey, you are going to be the mother of Christ. And her response is, Lord, it's not possible. It's not possible. I'm a virgin. It's not possible. It can't be. Now, simple matter of fact is, there's a lot of things in life that are impossible. Humanly speaking. And I wonder today if maybe you're sitting here and you say, yeah, Gary, I have got a situation in my life that is humanly impossible. Humanly impossible. My folks are in some situations physically. My dad is starting to struggle mentally, which is really tough on me. They have accumulated some debt. And I look at this and I say, this is, you know, my dad's had five kids. The only problem is they're all in the ministry. They don't have any money. You know, we're not going to bail him out. We'll do all we can to help him. I try to send him money all the time, but humanly, it's an impossible situation. What are you going to do? It's maybe a family situation, and it's just, you don't see any resolution. It's humanly impossible. Could be a physical problem. Could be all kinds of things. Now, we have a choice. You can live in fear, or you can live by faith. And I love what the angel says to her at this point in the story. He comes back in verse 37. Well, actually, he gave her a little bit of encouragement because he said, oh, I just want you to know, you think your situation is impossible. Just here's a little illustration for you. You know your cousin Elizabeth, barren, old lady? She's going to have a child. Just want to show you this is possible. But then this great statement in verse 37, and you may just need to camp here for a few days in your life. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, and that's the key two words, isn't it? With God, nothing shall be impossible. What a great truth. You know what? We just need to realize in our hearts and minds that God is able. I don't know what your situation is today, but I know that God is able to resolve it. My mother's laying in the hospital. She's 84 years old. Lord may take her on to heaven, but I do know this. I know God is able to heal her if that's his will. He is able. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Now, here's the peace I get from that. If God doesn't, and he takes her on to heaven, I know it's his will, and I can rest in that. See? God is able. We've got two doctors up there, feuding doctors. One's the emergency room, one's the ICU doctor, and the other one's the hospital doctor. And one wants to do one thing and wants to do another thing, and my poor sister's caught right in the middle. And it's like, doesn't matter. God is able. My dad and mom have had a fifth wheel for a long time. They fell into sin. Isn't that right, Larry? And bought a fifth wheel. No, I'm just kidding. No, that fifth wheel has been a great blessing to our family. They really enjoyed it, but they need to sell it, and they've been trying to sell it for some time. And again, I mentioned my dad has incurred some debt that they just can't pay. And he was asking, I think, $6,500. And at one point, Larry said, if they can get four or five, they better take it and run. And this has been ongoing for some time. My brothers put it on Craigslist. They put it in the paper. Couldn't sell it. I don't know if it was before I got there or once I got there, he said, hey, I had a guy call me who wants to buy it. And then my brother-in-law called me and said, hey, they got these financial problems. You know, we need to sit down and have a conference call, decide what we're going to do, how we can help, whatever. I said, well, number one, we need to find out who this guy is and sell this stinking trailer. Let's get rid of this thing and get some money so they can pay off some of these bills. And I called my sister. I said, when you get home, you call me, and I'll call Dad and say, Dad, look, call this guy up. Let's get it done now. I mean, I know Mom's in the hospital, but we need to get this done now. And so my sister texts me a while later, and she says, he doesn't know who the guy is. Doesn't know his name, doesn't know his phone number. I said, oh, great. So I didn't call my dad. She texted me 45 minutes later and said, hey, the guy just called, and he's going to come tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock and buy the trailer. Now, he's going to give $6,000 and $6,500, and I said, hallelujah, take the $6,000 and run. And I said to somebody, you know what? It's amazing what God can do without us. And then they said, you know, it's amazing what God can do in spite of us. That's probably even more true. Folks, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 32, 17, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Wow. Romans 4, 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, this is talking about Abraham and Isaac, he was able also to perform. Do you believe that God can do what he said he would do? Look, folks, this is an impossible situation. How did Mary respond? Well, let's look at verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid or the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. How did she respond, folks? Her heart was full of faith when she heard this, when this angel showed up and said all these things. And she's thinking, what in the world? How in the world? But how did she respond? In faith. She believed God. And she said, Lord, you just do exactly what you said you're going to do, and I'm going to trust you. I believe your word. What a great truth. What a great truth. I want you to realize as you go home, folks, today, or actually I hope you stay for church, no matter what your situation is, God is able. God is able. And we could probably go around the room right now if we had time, and people could tell us, I look at Bennett right there, the doctors have given him just a few days to live. Stage 4 cancer. He's gone. That's the doctors thought. Wrong. God said, no, I think I want Bennett to stay around a little longer. And that's been how many years ago? 4? 7 years ago. And I know there are others of you, I just happened to look at Bennett when I was thinking about that. Situations that are humanly impossible. But remember, folks, with God, all things are possible. If you find yourself today being overwhelmed by fear, and by the way, if you are, you're human, okay? But there is an antidote for fear, and it's faith. And I've often told people when they're going through a great trial, get in the Word of God and find a verse. A promise of God, something about the character of God, something that will carry you through the trial. Because it's the faith, it's not the will, it's not, oh, I'm going to buck up and I'm going to be a man and I'm going to. No, it is faith in God, not faith in self. We have enough humanism, we don't need any more, okay? It is faith in God and what God can do. As I concluded my studying yesterday morning, I began to sing, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. The third verse says, through days of toil, when heart doth fail. Have you been there? God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. The last verse says, no matter what may be the test. Boy, there's some tough ones, aren't there? God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. That great chorus, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. If you're full of fear today, I encourage you to get in the Word of God and believe what God says. And you will find that a faith in a sovereign, all-powerful God can drive the fears right out of your life. And you can have peace in the midst of a storm. Aren't you glad we have such a great God? A great God. Great God. With God. With God. Remember the two words. With God, all things are possible. Fear not. Got two more. We'll cover those, Lord willing, next week. All right? Let's pray. Lord, you've helped me this week, and I thank you for your sovereign control in our lives. And even as my family's been preparing and really unknowingly preparing for my mom's sickness, you are already working in my heart. And God, before we even knew about this situation with the trailer, you were already working it all out. And Lord, I praise you today. I praise you that we can have faith, which drives out fear. And Lord, I'm sure that this morning there are some folks here who are struggling with fear. There are things in their life that are humanly impossible. And God, I pray that you would give them a promise, that you would give them a right view of God, and that they would have fear, have faith, and it would drive that fear out. Help them, I pray. And Lord, as we trust you, may we see you do impossible things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.